Another big name comes out and says he wants Robert Sarver out. The Suns could be shopping a potentially valuable role player, and the Celtics could be without one of their valuable starters to start the season. We'll talk about it all right now on the Locked On NBA podcast.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On NBA podcast. NBA season is right around the corner. We've been here all offseason with fresh, free daily podcasts and rotating hosts every day of the week. On Wednesdays, it's us. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics on the Locked On Celtics podcast. And you can find me on Twitter at @John_Corrales.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can find me on Twitter. It's at @NolaJake.
Make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. We're on YouTube. Watch the show on YouTube. Make sure you're, wait, we're waving to our YouTube watchers, both of them. Say thanks, everybody, for tuning in. All right. Later on, we'll get to the Robert Williams surgery for how that impacts the Celtics. We'll get into some Jay Crowder stuff in the second segment. First, the Robert Sarver stuff not going away anytime soon. And, you know, we heard LeBron come out early, you know, NBA players around the league have come out and said to varying degrees, we want Sarver out. We talked about this last week. And one of the things I was wondering last week was how this would impact the players, especially as we get further into the collective bargaining agreement stuff. And the overwhelming feeling has been that the NBA kind of botched this. And here comes Draymond Green on his podcast saying, I'm asking there be a vote. He says he wants the owners to vote. I'm asking there to be a vote. If that's the only way, then let's see what those numbers are. Let's see what they are. Putting the owners' feet to the fire, because if the owners vote and they say, no, then they're going to want to see which team owners said, no, we're going to keep Robert Sarver. And that could have a real impact. Jake, I think that could have an impact on who they even sign. If there's borderline, if I'm a player and I got a choice between a team that voted Sarver to stay versus a team that voted Sarver out, and it's an equal opportunity, that could impact where guys go.
No, totally, right? Like, in the aftermath of the Donald Sterling situation, right? Like, some people have kind of forgotten this, you know, thinking that Silver just stripped the team of his. He goes, no, I'm going to recommend that the Board of Governors, right, vote to strip him of his team, probably for violating some sort of bylaws and their franchise agreements, things like that. And that didn't happen here. And by Silver not taking strong enough action and that horrible press conference that he had where he looked woefully unprepared and had to have multiple like PR statements come out after to kind of correct things he said in the moment, which is never a good thing. You know, it shifted the onus to the players. You know, when they were dealing with Donald Sterling, that came out during a playoff series, I believe, or during the regular season between the Clippers and the Golden State Warriors. And like, both teams weren't going to come out and take the floor. And there was big concern of like, would a game have to be postponed? You also saw this in the bubble too, right? When the Bucks were maybe not going to play a game during the bubble. And so when the players start to really use their power and their leverage to potentially sit out or have this kind of overshadow the game and the league as a whole, that's where they can really kind of create some change. So Silver shifted and put the onus on the players, and you're starting to see guys like LeBron and now even Draymond Green really go, okay, if you're going to put this on us, We're going to say the obvious thing and do what you should have assumed we were going to do. So when you look at the mismanagement of this by the NBA, Adam Silver, this is just another step in that process of them not doing this properly.
Yeah, I think this has kind of been a low point, maybe the lowest point for Silver.
Easy.
In the NBA, right? It's hard to imagine. There hasn't been another heat, because in all of the other opportunities to quote unquote do the right thing, they've sided on, they've done the right thing. And now here they are with this, and it just feels like it fell short. Okay. So even if you disagree, the players don't, and the players are the ones out there performing. So if the players are sitting here saying, we want this guy out, are the players going to take some sort of action? This is the beginning. And as Draymond says in his piece, when he returns next year, because it's only a year, does everything just go back to normal? Are those guys supposed to unsee everything that they just saw and heard? Are those guys supposed to feel comfortable with continuing to work with this guy? Sarver, in a season, will walk through the locker room, and he'll walk through a room full of young black men, and they will be looking at him and saying, oh, yeah, you're the guy that just repeatedly used the N-word for whatever reason that you say. How does that dynamic work? How does that not get horribly uncomfortable? How do you in Phoenix as a player rectify taking money from this guy? And you can say, well, that's where the jobs are, and there are only a few jobs in the NBA. If you don't want to take it, somebody else will. But it's still a level of discomfort that is unnecessary, and you don't want the pressure there to create a crack anywhere in the relationship between the league and the players. And really, there is a ton of pressure right now.
And I also got to give you a lot of credit, right? Because you called the CBA stuff last week, and then immediately statements were put out about that from the Players Association. So, like, good read on that situation overall with everything. I do wonder if they're going to look to try and kind of push Sarver quietly out. We're going to ban him from a year, and then we're going to put a lot of leverage on him to try and sell in that period of time. But if you're going to do that, this doesn't help you one with that. And it just makes you look bad when you could have just done the right thing in the first place. And it again speaks to the mismanagement of this. I'm going to put a date out there for you though. October 25th, by the way, it is a Tuesday night when we would be recording our Locked On NBA Wednesday show. That is the first matchup early in the season between the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors. What if Draymond Green convinces the Golden State Warriors not to come out and play that game, to not leave the locker room? They can afford to forfeit it if they needed to. I think we all feel comfortable with that in the regular season for the Golden State Warriors to make a statement. And would you... I don't think they'll do this, but I think it's somewhat of a possibility that makes a statement right there, right? Early on in the year, the reigning champions come into this city to play that team. Their owners, the governor, I should use the proper terminology, isn't there. And they want to make a statement to try and push this guy out. I don't know. That's a pretty big way to do it.
I mean, that would hit the bottom line because that would mean there's no concessions. If the team comes out and there's no game and they just send everybody home, then you don't sell the food, you don't sell the beer, you don't make a lot of the money that you would normally make in that setting. So that hits. If you're going to protest, you got to make sure you're doing a couple of things. You're being visible and you're hitting a bottom line somewhere, and that's both of them right there. So I wouldn't be surprised. I know that Steve Kerr is the type of guy that would go along.
Yeah.
Anything like that. I know that the Warriors aren't afraid of a moment like that. And obviously Draymond, if he felt like that was a move, that if that was the move, he would have no problem leading that charge. So that's an interesting scenario there. I wonder if Silver, because I said last week that I don't think that Sarver is coming back. I think that he's going to end up selling the team. I think he's going to be forced out. I do think that because of all of this, because Draymond comes out and guys keep coming out and saying, we don't want to be a part of this. I wonder if Silver goes to the union or somehow through back channels, there's a little bit of a discussion that says, look, here's why. We've got legal issues. Like I said last week, we've got legal issues. We don't have a leg to stand on to force him to sell the team because of X, Y, and Z. But you guys can exert the pressure and we're not going to stop you. So if the message gets out to the players, we're not going to punish you for taking stands. If you guys really want to ramp up the pressure, the league won't discipline Draymond Green for forcing a forfeit. The league won't discipline you guys for putting the pressure on him in a way that we can't. Just saying, You know, like, I wonder if there's that kind of dynamic going.
Yeah, I'm going to do the improv thing. Yes. And right. Like, I wonder if this is enough, like, conduct detrimental to the league that this kind of breaks some sort of clause in his franchise agreement without knowing some of the specifics on that. Like, it feels like there would be legal implications, but it also feels like the NBA would prevail in such legal implications of that. But the thing is, they just don't want to go through the discovery process and have other things come out about other owners who are incredibly silent. Like, I'm very confident, without being a lawyer, that the NBA could win any sort of legal challenge by Sarver if they all voted to push him out. I feel good about that. The problem is they just don't want to go down that road. And notice, unlike with Sterling, not one owner has put out a statement against this. You saw that immediately with Donald Sterling. Multiple owners put out statements through, like, their team Twitter accounts being like, we condemn this behavior, we don't like this. Everyone stayed silent here. So while Draymond might try and take a stand and other players might take a stand, I don't think it ultimately matters unless the other owners are willing to take a stand. And it does not appear that they are willing to do so for whatever reason, probably because they've had bad behavior on their parts, right? Like, lest we forget, it was Mark Cuban who's the most vocal kind of critic of voting out Donald Sterling, I believe, being like, this is a slippery slope. Then lo and behold, what came out about Cuban and the Mavs a couple of years later, right? He had that whole scandal under his ownership, right? I don't know. It makes you wonder to a certain degree with things. So, like, until the owners do something, I wonder if, you know, it's nice. I'm glad Draymond Green is trying to lead the charge and some of these other guys are trying to lead the charge and say all of this, but I think it ultimately might amount to nothing.
I mean, it's going to be, I think something like this has to be basically all or nothing. You either boycott Phoenix and, or you just shut up, I guess. I don't want to say that in a shut up and dribble sort of way. It's you either back up what you're saying or it's toothless. So you just say, all right. I mean, I can sit here and say, I demand that Russia release Brittany Griner and, like, okay, what can I do about it? Like, I can tweet about it, but that's kind of an empty gesture. It's like, you know, you can say what you're going to say, but they have the power. If you have power to do something, do it. So anyway, the Suns have to, again, we talk about basketball, Jay Crowder apparently being shopped. I wonder if Sarver is in on that deal. We'll talk about that in just a second. First, we're going to talk to you about BetOnline. I don't know what the odds are doing for the Phoenix Suns, because up and down with these moves, and if they do trade Jay Crowder, what's that going to do for them? Is that going to bring in somebody that changes the odds? Phoenix is such an interesting team odds wise because they were so good over the past couple of years, and then now I think the general consensus is their window is closing. So if you're want to bet on them or bet on one of their competition to win the West, head on over to betonline.net. It's your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs, as well as your NBA betting needs. It's everywhere. I mean, football is the big thing right now, right? Everybody's betting on football. You can check out BetOnline for all your latest football league developments, matchups, news, podcasts. It's all right there. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports, including obviously NBA, MLB, MMA, boxing, golf, whatever other initials there are for sports. It's all there. Plus live betting, esports and scores, everything at betonline.net. So head on over to the website today. You can use your mobile device to do so. Learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline is where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. I want to thank everybody for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. It's your team every day in the Locked On Podcast Network. So check out Phoenix Suns, Locked On Suns there. You can check out me, Locked On Celtics. You can check out Jake, Locked On Pelicans, for all of the latest developments on our teams. Any team you want, any sport you want, check it out. It's such a huge, network that's crazy. Check it out. Most of these shows are on YouTube as well. So no excuse for missing a show. Jay Crowder, the Suns, I don't know if they're kind of just done with him, but according to Brian Windhorst, They are shopping him. He is very, very available. He's making $10 million, just under $10.2 million. And I don't know what the Suns are hoping to accomplish here with the move, but Windy says the Suns are operating like a championship looking to improve, a championship team looking to improve their team heading into camp, and moving Crowder apparently is one of the ways that they think they can do that. Now, can you move Crowder somewhere and get somebody that's going to help your team with the Phoenix Suns? What's his value around the league at this point?
You know, I'm the guy who covers the team that had FJ Crowder chants in the arena during a playoff series. So there's a value in him getting under the skin and kind of being an annoying player. But in terms of his like on-court value, it can't be that high. He was not good in the postseason at all for the Phoenix Suns. This is a guy who shot 30% from three in the postseason this year. Those are really, really bad numbers. You know, 40% from the field. He's a role player at best when you put him in the right circumstances, and very clearly he's not a guy, I think, right now that can kind of rise to the occasion, the moment in the postseason for them. So, like, yeah, they should look to move him, but they're going to need to include a first-round pick with him or something along those lines to really get anything of significant value in return. So I don't know if they're really going to be able to kind of find the right deal. Like, if you're any team, you know, unless you're the Oklahoma City Thunder, that's going to kind of be a retirement for home for him, you know, at 32 years of age, and they'll happily take another pick, you know, is there really like a deal out there to be made? Like, if, you know, what other contender would want him or something like that?
Well, I'm going to bring up the team that I cover because I think Jay Crowder became Jay Crowder on the Boston Celtics. He became the guy that had value because when Kyrie or Irving became available in Cleveland, the Celtics were able to sell the Cavs on Isaiah Thomas, even though he was injured. Jay Crowder had been playing really, really well. His last season in Boston, he shot 39.8%, by far his best. He had a 44%. So in Miami. So, but he had one of his best career seasons shooting the ball in Boston. And so he had shown himself to be a valuable enough role player with the Celtics that that trade was palatable for the Cavs. Now, everywhere Crowder has gone, that team has had this like intangible something that
makes, he brings that
he brings some. Now the Celtics, I think, could benefit from having just another gritty, not afraid to mix it up, kind of lead the emotional charge. If you have a team that's generally full of guys who might be a little too nice, and you know, the Celtics have Marcus Smart and he's willing to mix it up. You throw a Jay Crowder into the mix there, and he could just be that toughness that the team needs to just take that something forward. I think contenders see that level of kind of ride or die. Whenever he's on a team, he's on that team. I think there's value to that.
Yeah, there is. The problem is then finding a trade that works, right? At $10 million per year. You know, if you're sending out that guy, knowing that Jay Crowder is more, let's call him a locker room guy, right? Like a bench guy, like a literal guy on the bench that's kind of motivating your guys and kind of getting them mentally in the right spot. There's value in that. I agree. Is there value when you have to give up a rotation player for that?
Well, now here comes the question of what does Phoenix want? What's Phoenix trying to accomplish with this? Are they trying to get younger? Just, are they trying to add a rotation player?
They're trying to add a rotation player. Like, that's definitely what this is, because I think they saw in the postseason they're a little bit short there. An injury or two can kind of mess them up a little bit, and they want a little bit more depth. Because, look, Crowder was at times almost unplayable, and they didn't really have anyone else to play. And that's kind of the problem there. So I would assume they want a rotation guy in return for Jay Crowder, which makes this whole trying to figure out a trade for him kind of weird, right? Because like you feel like he is a rotation guy, but he is, but like an end of the rotation guy, and they want a guy that's more towards like probably like an eighth man, seventh man. And I just don't know if you're going to get that for Jay. No, and then like what happens to that Phoenix team if you trade away a guy like Jay Crowder, right? Is he more valuable to them than anyone else? And this, I don't know, has a little bit of feeling of desperation maybe to the Phoenix Suns of like, oh, we got to do something. The postseason was so bad for us last year. We're keeping basically everyone here, but we got to do something because they feel a little unsure of themselves, right? Do you you smell that little bit of desperation coming off of them?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I think they're like I said, there's that feeling, I think, across the league. You hear everybody talk about it. The Suns feel like a team that's they've been good, but I don't know how they can stay good. You got Chris.
It's like the Utah Jazz, right?
Right, right. Like that's a good example because, and I think it's even to a different level because the main guy, the gas that makes that go is Chris Paul, and he's just not durable anymore. He can't make it from day one to game 100 if you're going to win a championship. He just can't do it. He's going to have to miss. And even last season, he missed a bunch of time and then came back and he still didn't have it. He's just, I don't know how much he has left in the tank to do everything that he's been doing to make the Suns good. I think the Suns, if the Suns are going to be good, they need this to be like Devin Booker is awesome. He's their MVP candidate. DeAndre Ayton has to be an all NBA level type of center. And then Chris Paul can fill in some of the gaps as the point guard who ties it all together and has his flashes of CP3. You just can't rely on him as much as you have because he's very clearly falls apart. So I don't think that team moving Crowder I don't think you're going to get what you think you're going to get for Jay Crowder.
No, not at all. And that's why it's kind of weird. Like there's some value to be had for Jay Crowder. I think he's, you know, very clearly past his prime as a player. If they're willing to move off him, he's probably the most expendable guy. So yeah, you can include a first round pick, trade him and try and get a rotation player. I just don't know if there's another contender that's going to be willing to give up a rotation player for a first round pick if they're trying to win right now. So it just kind of puts them in a weird spot and probably kind of gives you a little bit of insight into how the Phoenix Suns are feeling.
Yeah. Your best bet is to, if you want somebody to take that money, your best bet is to look at one of the lesser teams then and see if there's a younger guy that you can pry away that you think could fill that role or a reclamation project. Maybe there's a guy out there that has a few more years left on his deal that you say, okay, we're going to take him and hopefully in this Phoenix situation, he'll do better. And Crowder is just an expiring $10.2 million contract.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something to watch for. I mean, you never know how desperate teams are going to get. Teams, you suffer an injury and all of a sudden the market for
like any team Crowder, you know.
Yeah. If you suffer an injury, and all of a sudden the market changes, like the Boston Celtics. We'll talk about the Boston Celtics. First, I want to say that I think you should be listening on this feed, the NBA Top 50, the Locked On NBA Network, as well as the Bet Online odds makers have put together the NBA's Top 50 Most Valuable Players. Which NBA players move the betting line the most this season? It's a different kind of look at the top 50. So check it out. It's on this feed. So if you see something, it's like, wait, that's not Locked On NBA. No, click on that. Listen to that because all of us are weighing in on this top 50. And I've got three players on that top 50.
What do you? Yeah, I got one. They're kind of missing someone on there, I think. Kind of the key player, I think. I don't know. Zion Williamson kind of or key something. Player heard of that plays, guy?
Yeah. Maybe they didn't get that far down in the alphabet.
Yeah, that could be the only reason. No, it's an interesting listen. Like, I've been tuning in. It's pretty awesome to hear everyone give their takes on their guys and why these are, you know, rated properly or underrated or overrated, what it might be.
So you can find that right here in the Locked On NBA feed or on YouTube. Check that out. Boston Celtics suffering a little bit of a setback before the season started. Robert Williams going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Has not had the procedure yet, but will go and undergo an arthroscopic procedure that's being termed a cleanup in his left knee. So I will answer the question that Jake probably has. Hey, what does this mean for the Boston Celtics? Jake, you want to ask me the question?
Yeah. Let's do this properly, right? Okay. So, John, given this injury and that the Celtics are an early preseason favorite here, what's this do to the Boston Celtics? What's this mean for the Boston Celtics?
I'm glad you asked me that question, Jake. It's a good one. The Celtics, I don't think it's going to impact them too much because Robert Williams has been around. He was here last year with Ime Udoka. And if this is strictly a cleanup of the meniscus, the left knee where he tore his meniscus, Robert Williams not being 100%, I think is a huge reason why the Celtics weren't able to beat the Golden State Warriors. Credit to the Warriors. This is what happens when you win a finals. You always have to overcome some sort of injuries. The Warriors lost a championship due to injuries, and they've won in part, I think, due to injuries because Robert Williams is a supremely important guy that you have to worry about on defense. And if he was available, fully available at his full strength, the threat of him would have changed the entire dynamic and would have taken some of the pressure off Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Maybe the Warriors would have won. Maybe they wouldn't have. I don't know. In my head, I think that the Celtics would have had a better chance. So, but the meniscus surgery that he had coming back so soon, there is a level of scar tissue that is built up in that scenario. So it's not uncommon in that scenario to go back in and clean some out. I wouldn't be surprised if Robert Williams said, I'm going to try to play through it. And then now that they're getting closer to camp and the injury, the pain is still there, that he said, I'll do this now so I don't miss a bunch of time. Worst case scenario, he misses a week or two of the regular season. I think, Jake, it's the type of thing where you miss a key player at the beginning of the season while everybody's figuring things out. By Christmas, if the Celtics are a top two seed, people will forget. Oh yeah. That's right. Robert Williams did miss a couple of weeks. I think they'll forget about it.
No, that's the right take. Like, this is not a big deal. This is not a concern. And in fact, it's probably the smart thing for them to do, right? Like, as you said, it's more unpredictable in the beginning of the year. Teams are still struggling. They're trying to kind of figure things out. This is the right thing because a lot of his games kind of built around his athleticism, I think. His, like, springiness, right? He led the league in blocks in the postseason for that reason. He's 6'8", right? It's not a 7-footer doing all of this. He needs to kind of have that leap ability. And so making sure that he has that, I think, is a really important thing. And that's kind of what this surgery seems like it's designed to do. Do you have any long-term concerns about him and this injury at all?
I don't, as far as this specific meniscus thing. I think meniscus tears happen, and we've seen the worst of it with Lonzo Ball. We've seen other guys. Robert Williams came back from it. A lot of guys come back from it. So it varies. So considering that he was out there, and they just decided to clean this up. Taken at face value, no long-term concerns. What I do have a long-term concern about Rob, though, is, I mean, multiple surgeries, not great on the same knee, but okay, I can overlook. It's just arthroscopic, fine. The fact that I think when he has one thing, it can very easily lead to a second thing. And for Robert Williams, he has, I've always termed it as, he started out his career as a supreme athlete who was playing basketball. And then he became and is becoming more of a basketball player who is a supreme athlete. But he needs to keep going in that direction and growing as that. And I think one thing that if you really want to get like rosy, positive spin, you take this ordeal that he's going through, and it should hammer home the message that you don't always got to jump, buddy. You don't always have to jump. he loves to jump. He bites on fakes. He loves to try to block shots. What I want him to do is learn how to protect the rim just by positioning your body the right way and being a deterrent. And when a guy turns the corner and you've taken the right angle and you've slid and you're in position and he says, nope, I don't even want to think about going to the rim. You've done your job and you didn't even have to jump. Save the jumps and, more importantly, the awkward landings, because he jumps so high, like he just ends up twisting and landing oddly. Save that for when you need to do it. Positioning, better awareness, and recognition keeps him on the ground more while still protecting the rim. I'm hoping that that hammers that point home for him and that he can kind of get past this and stay healthy.
Yeah, that seems to be the key. That seems to be the key for him. I like what you said about him becoming like a basketball player that's a supreme athlete, because I definitely agree with that. And you've kind of seen that like maturation from him, I think. And then staying healthy and then still keeping that like just freak athlete status that he has, I think is big and important, because as you mentioned, Lonzo Ball's dealing with this now. It doesn't look like he's going to be ready for the start of the regular season. Like, this type of injury can mess with you like significantly and kind of alter your career. So when I saw this break, I was like, oh, that can't be anything good. I really hope he doesn't go down that same trajectory. I don't know. When I see these type of things now, I'm a little concerned given what we've seen in the past from kind of guys. Like, Brandon Roy dealt with something very similar to this too. And like, you know, it's like the cautionary tale.
Yeah. What you don't want is it for it to become some sort of degenerative thing. And then you hear, once you hear the words microfracture surgery, you're like, oh, well, then forget it. Because microfracture surgery is what Greg Oden had and what Brandon Roy had, and that type of stuff is like that's like last gasp type of stuff. The hope here is that the meniscus and all of the cushioning and cartilage in his knee is still intact, and it's just a little bit of a cleanup. But cleanup means shaving bits away, and shaving bits away means that there's less of it, and you just don't want to go down that road. So I'm pretty confident. I feel okay, but it's not 100%. It's not entirely 100% comfort level.
There's always Jay Crowder. There's always Jay Crowder.
All right, that'll do it for the podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening as Jake kicks me below. That's a flagrant two. That's a flagrant two, and I'm going to kick you off the podcast for that. Kick us both off the podcast. Thanks for listening to the Locked On NBA podcast. As usual on Wednesdays, I'm one of your hosts, John Corrales, host of the Locked On Celtics podcast at @John_Corrales on Twitter.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. I'm on Twitter. It's @NolaJake.
So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, daily podcasts everywhere. Find your favorite team out there, daily podcasts from them everywhere. And on YouTube, watch the show. And I would love it if you shared the podcast because you love it so much. Tell your friends and family, everybody, that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On NBA podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.